Chapter 130. Florence stretched out to him, with the chivalry of any old knight-errant, and walking on tiptoe out of the room. Descending to the little parlor, Captain Cuttle, after holding a hasty council with himself, decided to open the shop door for a few minutes, and satisfy himself that now, at all events, there was no one loitering about it. Accordingly he set it open, and stood upon the threshold, keeping a bright lookout, and sweeping the whole street with his spectacles. "How do you, Captain Gills?" said a voice beside him. The captain, looking down, found that he had been boarded by Mr. Toots, while sweeping the horizon. "How are you, my lad?" replied the captain. "Well, I am pretty well, thank ye, Captain Gills," said Mr. Toots. "You know I'm never quite what I could wish to be now. I don't expect that I ever shall be any more." Mr. Toots never approached any nearer than this to the great theme of his life, when in conversation with Captain Cuttle, on account of the agreement between them. "Captain Gills," said Mr. Toots, "if I could have the pleasure of a word with you, it's rather particular." "Why, you see, my lad," replied the captain, leading the way into the parlor, "I ain't what you may call exactly free this morning, and therefore if you can clap on a bit, I should take it kindly." "Certainly, Captain Gills," replied Mr. Toots, who seldom had any notion of the captain's meaning. "To clap on is exactly what I could wish to do." "Naturally. If so be, my lad," returned the captain. "Do it." The captain was so impressed by the possession of his tremendous secret by the fact of Miss Dombey being at that moment under his roof, while the innocent and unconscious Toots sat opposite to him, that a perspiration broke out on his forehead, and he found it impossible, while slowly drying the same, glazed hat in hand, to keep his eyes off Mr. Toots' face. Mr. Toots, who himself appeared to have some secret reasons for being in a nervous state, was so unspeakably disconcerted by the captain's stare, that after looking at him vacantly for some time in silence, and shifting uneasily on his chair, he said, "I beg your pardon, Captain Gills, but you don't happen to see anything particular in me, do you?"
"No, my lad," returned the captain.
"No. Because you know," said Mr. Toots with a chuckle, "I know I'm wasting away. You needn't at all mind alluding to that.
I should like it. Burgess and Company have altered my measure. I'm in that state of thinness. It's a gratification to me. I'm glad of it. I'd a great deal rather go into a decline, if I could. I'm a mere brute, you know, grazing upon the surface of the earth, Captain Gills." The more Mr. Toots went on in this way, the more the captain was weighed down by his secret, and stared at him. What with this cause of uneasiness, and his desire to get rid of Mr. Toots, the captain was in such a scared and strange condition, indeed, that if he had been in conversation with a ghost, he could hardly have evinced greater discomposure. "But I was going to say, Captain Gills," said Mr. Toots, "happening to be this way early this morning, to tell you the truth, I was coming to breakfast with you. As to sleep, you know, I never sleep now. I might be a watchman, except that I don't get any pay, and he's got nothing on his mind."
"Carry on, my lad," said the captain, in an admonitory voice.
"Certainly, Captain Gills," said Mr. Toots. "Perfectly true. Happening to be this way early this morning an hour or so ago, and finding the door shut
what? Were you waiting there, brother?"
demanded the captain.
"Not at all, Captain Gills," returned Mr. Toots. "I didn't stop a moment. I thought you were out. But the person said, by the by, you don't keep a dog, you, Captain Gills?"
The captain shook his head. To be sure, apostrophe said Mr. Toots. That's exactly what I said. I knew you didn't. There is a dog, Captain Gills, connected with but excuse me. That's forbidden ground. Apostrophe, the captain stared at Mr. Toots until he seemed to swell to twice his natural size, and again the perspiration broke out on the captain's forehead, when he thought of Diogenes taking it into his head, to come down and make a third in the parlor. The person said, apostrophe continued Mr. Toots, that he had heard a dog barking in the shop, which I knew couldn't be, and I told him so. But he was as positive as if he had seen the dog. Apostrophe, what person, my lad? Apostrophe, inquired the captain. Why, you see there it is, Captain Gills, apostrophe said Mr. Toots, with a perceptible increase in the nervousness of his manner. It's not for me to say what may have taken place, or what may not have taken place. Indeed, I don't know. I get mixed up with all sorts of things that I don't quite understand, and I think there's something rather weak in my head, in short. Apostrophe, the captain nodded his own, as a mark of assent. But the person said, as we were walking away, apostrophe continued Mr. Toots, that you knew what, under existing circumstances, might occur, he said, might, very strongly, and that, if you were requested to prepare yourself, you would, no doubt, come prepared. Apostrophe, person, my lad, the captain repeated. I don't know what person, I'm sure, Captain Gills, apostrophe replied Mr. Toots, I haven't the least idea. But coming to the door, I found him waiting there, and he said, was I coming back again, and I said yes, and he said, did I know you, and I said, yes, I had the pleasure of your acquaintance, you had given me the pleasure of your acquaintance, after some persuasion. And he said, if that was the case, would I say to you what I have said, about existing circumstances and coming prepared, and as soon as ever I saw you, would I ask you to step round the corner, if it was only for 1 minute, on most important business, to Mr. Broglie's the broker's. Now, I tell you what, Captain Gills, whatever it is, I am convinced it's very important. And if you like to step round now, I'll wait here till you come back. Apostrophe, the captain, divided between his fear of compromising Florence in some way by not going, and his horror of leaving Mr. Toots in possession of the house with a chance of finding out the secret, was a spectacle of mental disturbance that even Mr. Toots could not be blind to. But that young gentleman, considering his nautical friend as merely in a state of preparation for the interview he was going to have, was quite satisfied, and did not review his own discreet conduct without chuckle. At length the captain decided, as the lesser of two evils, to run round to Broglie's the broker's. Previously locking the door that communicated with the upper part of the house, and putting the key in his pocket. If so be, apostrophe said the captain to Mr. Toots, with not a little shame and hesitation, as you'll excuse my doing of it, brother. Apostrophe, Captain Gills, apostrophe returned Mr. Toots, whatever you do, is satisfactory to me. The captain thanked him heartily, and promising to come back in less than 5 minutes, went out in quest of the person who had entrusted Mr. Toots with this mysterious message. Poor Mr. Toots, left to himself, lay down upon the sofa, little thinking who had reclined there last, and, gazing up at the skylight and resigning himself to visions of Miss Dombey, lost all heed of time and place. It was as well that he did so, for although the captain was not gone long, he was gone much longer than he had proposed. When he came back, he was very pale indeed, and greatly agitated, and even looked as if he had been shedding tears. He seemed to have lost the faculty of speech, until he had been to the cupboard, and taken a dram of rum from the case bottle, when he fetched a deep breath, and sat down in a chair with his hand before his face. Captain Gills, apostrophe said Toots, kindly, I hope and trust there's nothing wrong? Apostrophe, thank ye, my lad, not a bit, apostrophe said the captain. quite contrary. Apostrophe, you have the appearance of being overcome, Captain Gills, apostrophe observed Mr. Toots. Why, my lad, I am took aback, apostrophe the captain admitted. I am. Apostrophe, is there anything I can do, Captain Gills? Apostrophe inquired Mr. Toots. If there is, make use of me. Apostrophe, the captain removed his hand from his face, looked at him with a remarkable expression of pity and tenderness, and took him by the hand, and shook it hard. No, thank ye, apostrophe said the captain. Nothing. Only I'll take it as a favor, if you'll part company for the present. I believe, brother, apostrophe wringing his hand again, that, after Waller, and on a different model, you're as good a lad as ever stepped. Apostrophe, upon my word and honor, Captain Gills, apostrophe returned Mr. Toots, giving the captain's hand a preliminary slap, before shaking it again, it's delightful to me to possess your good opinion. Thank ye. And bear a hand and cheer up, apostrophe said the captain, patting him on the back. What? There's more than one sweet creature in the world. Apostrophe, not to me, Captain Gills, apostrophe replied Mr. Toots gravely. Not to me, I assure you. The state of my feelings towards Miss Dombey is of that unspeakable description, that my heart is a desert island, and she lives in it alone. I'm getting more used up every day, and I'm proud to be so. If you could see my legs, when I take my boots off, you'd form some idea of what unrequited affection is. I have been prescribed bark, but I don't take it, for I don't wish to have any tone, whatever given to my constitution. I'd rather not. This, however, is forbidden ground. Captain Gills, goodbye. Apostrophe, Captain Cuttle cordially reciprocating the warmth of Mr. Toots' farewell, locked the door behind him, and shaking his head with the same remarkable expression of pity and tenderness as he had regarded him with before, went up to see if Florence wanted him. There was an entire change in the captain's face as he went upstairs. He wiped his eyes with his handkerchief, and he polished the bridge of his nose with his sleeve as he had done already that morning, but his face was absolutely changed. Now, he might have been thought supremely happy, now, he might have been thought sad, but the kind of gravity that sat upon his features was quite new to them, and was as great an improvement to them, as if they had undergone some sublimating process. He knocked softly, with his hook, at Florence's door, twice or thrice. But, receiving no answer, ventured first to peep in, and then to enter. Emboldened to take the latter step, perhaps, by the familiar recognition of Diogenes, who, stretched upon the ground by the side of her couch, wagged his tail, and winked his eyes at the captain, without being at the trouble of getting up. She was sleeping heavily, and moaning in her sleep, and Captain Cuttle, with a perfect awe of her youth, and beauty, and her sorrow, raised her head, and adjusted the coat that covered her, where it had fallen off, and darkened the window a little more, that she might sleep on, and crept out again, and took his post of watch upon the stairs. All this, with a touch and tread as light as Florence's own. Long may it remain in this mixed world a point not easy of decision, which is the more beautiful evidence of the Almighty's goodness the delicate fingers, that are formed for sensitiveness and sympathy of touch, and made to minister to pain and grief, or the rough hard Captain Cuttle hand, that the heart teaches, guides, and softens in a moment. Florence slept upon her couch, forgetful of her homelessness and orphanage, and Captain Cuttle watched upon the stairs. A louder sob or moan than usual brought him sometimes to her door, but by degrees she slept more peacefully, and the captain's watch was undisturbed. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.